Friends, we live in an age of terror. An age of terror. And this is perhaps the first week in quite a long time where maybe we can look at that a little bit more clear-eyed, because the news has not been filled with another shooting, another bomb blast. I want to today quickly look at the types of terror in the world. I want to describe what I see as the two main Western responses to terrorism. And then I want to turn to the Torah and its understanding of terror and zealotry as portrayed in the story of Pinchas there. And finally, I too, like Chase, want to charge you. I want to charge you to continue this discussion with your friends and family about the nature and causes of terror and who we might be or how we might develop to better confront some of those root causes. So we are living in an age of terror, but we're not the first ones to do that. And what the Torah presents in Parshat Pinchas is not terror as something out there, but something within the community itself. So what is terror? I want to divide it at least into two main schools as we see it in the news media. And the first is terror that is organized by a group, such as ISIS or Al-Qaeda. And the second form of terror, much more difficult, is the lone wolf examples which we have seen. The first is the most difficult to change, while the second is the most difficult to police. And the reason why terror that comes out of groups like ISIS or Al-Qaeda are so difficult is because they are built on group identity and group meaning, and specifically what Rabbi Jonathan Sacks likes to call the altruism of evil. So what is the altruism of evil? The altruism of evil is when I can perpetuate horrible acts because I believe that ultimately I am doing something good. That good certainly is sometimes framed in religious terms, such as my religion is right and the goal for ultimate life it has is better than yours, and therefore I can turn to abysmal acts. But it has a deeper level too, which challenges Western civilization at the deepest levels. Because since the Renaissance, the Western answer to the problems of life has been to glorify the individual and to place the individual above everything. And while that has been tremendous, it has removed from us a sense of purpose and meaning and of an identity that extends beyond the individual. What terror groups offer in a negative sense is a sense of purpose and identity that is greater than any individual. And that's a very important difference. Terror is not irrational, as I see it, but it is actually a reasonable, if despicable, response to the isolation that we feel as people, and a connecting way for us to say that my life matters, I have a greater purpose. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons why so many acts of terror in the Middle East are perpetrated not by ignorant individuals, but by people with college degrees. In America, the whole point of a college degree is to get a good job, to live a good life as an individual, and there's a dearth of meaning in that for a great many people. For the terror culture, college education is just one step, but the greater mission is to have a connection and to serve a purpose, in this case of a death-oriented perspective on the world. What does Judaism have to say about that in Parshat Pinchas? And what can it teach us about who we ought to be? I think in part
What we have to realize is that Pinchas, let me tell you the story in case you don't know it. Pinchas looks at an act happening in his area of moral impropriety. In front of the tent of meeting, in a place of perfect sanctity, a place where our ancestors understood God to be present, a man and a woman, Zimri, decide to have carnal relations in front of the temple. So I imagine, as for a second, if you could imagine that here or anywhere else, you can understand that this might upset some people. Pinchas understands that if a society doesn't have some sort of moral standards, everything is in jeopardy. And his answer is to take a spear, and with that spear, in one fell swoop, to plunge it through these two people who are disrespecting the confines of holiness. And he does that because of his sense of zealotry, his sense of passion that this is the correct thing to do. The rabbis, our sages, down through the ages, struggle with this mightily. They understand that as a society, if we allow certain acts of zealotry to occur in our midst, that there's something wrong with us. And some of the ways they go about limiting that, in the case of Pinchas, is to say, if Pinchas were to have asked somebody, is it permissible to go and kill these two people who are threatening our society standards, he would have been told no. They understand that if you have enough ability even to ask the question, that you cannot be excused for an act of passion or zealotry. The only thing perhaps that they want to say is when you can no longer control yourself, but you're trying to do it for this higher purpose. But the rabbis have a problem, because in this week's Parsha, immediately after that act, God, not society, God gives Pinchas his Brit Shalom, his covenant of peace. And this is a covenant and an agreement that no one else in the entire Bible receives. And peace for the Jewish tradition is the highest good there is. So how do we make sense of the fact that God decides to give him a covenant of peace? Is Pinchas and his actions being praised? We might read it that way, but our tradition understands the danger in there. And so one of the offers and interpretations it puts out there is he's given a covenant of peace precisely because peace is what he is missing. Peace, a sense of wholeness, of integrity and purpose, are the qualities that prevent us from acting in this way. The covenant of peace is given, in other words, as a warning and a rebuke of Pinchas. And we can see in the Torah itself that it doesn't work that well, because next week, Pinchas goes back to war. So the covenant of peace is something that we are trying to get to, a place that we have not yet made it to. The Torah and our sages, in looking at terror and zealotry from an internal lens, are doing something that we can't do for those areas of the world where terror is most prevalent, because they are doing an internal look at our own actions. They're saying, who are we as a society, and how have we permitted this to occur in our midst? But we as a country have seen more and more acts of gun violence in schools, in settings. We see more and more lone wolf actions. And that means that the lesson of Pinchas is a lesson that we can apply to our country. Who are we? How did we get here? What have we built as a society that allows this to occur in our midst?
Might it be that we have stripped our country of any meaning besides the individual and the individual success? And if that is the case, what can we do to build again a culture of hope, a culture of meaning and purpose, a culture in which that great dream of America can indeed be felt by all? I want to leave that with you as your charge. What can you do to build paths of connection and meaning in your lives and among the people in your lives as one small corrective to the age of terror in which we find ourselves? Because when God calls you to do the right thing, do not say, Na'ar Anochi, I am but a child. Rather, look out and figure and know that each of us is part of the cure and that together we can do great things. Shabbat Shalom.